Call to order the April 4th meeting of the City Council. Let's stand together and join with me in the salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. We will have the roll call by our city clerk.
Councilmember Czar,
here.
Councilmember Hansen,
here.
Councilmember Olson,
here.
Councilmember Taylor,
here.
Councilmember Wilson,
present.
Councilmember Birch,
here.
Councilmember Goodrich,
here.
Everybody's here, unaccounted for. Very good. We now have public comment. This is time for anyone from the audience to talk about something that's not on the agenda tonight. You have 3 minutes. Please introduce yourself, where you live, and you get 3 minutes. Mr. Callum, please come forward.
Hi, my name is Cleo Callan. I live at 8024 Dean Drive, Custer. You guys all know that I own the property at this corner of Northwest Avenue, or Rural and Slater, Northwest corner. I want to just preface my comments. I'm not talking to you or coming to you with what's going to benefit me directly. What I'm coming to you with is what I think will benefit the city. I just happen to own a piece of property that lays in the path of progress. So whatever the city does, it will probably be good for me. So, but the property is for sale, so it could be good for you too. I want to urge you to move forward in a cooperative manner with the tribe. With all due respect to Mr. Young, I disagree with the fact that it's okay to put things off and put things off. It's like the mayor's mentioned to me, that property is going to develop. It's going to develop maybe not this year, maybe not next year, maybe, you know, 10 or 15 years down the road. I know that. I've owned the property for 30 years. I've been waiting for this to develop all this time. But just pick a number. Say the city gets $3 million in tax revenues from what the tribe develops, what ultimately gets developed on my property, what gets developed on Alpatech's property. Present value of $3 million a year for 15 years at 7% is $27 million today to the city of Ferndale. So those tax dollars are being spent. They're being spent in Bellingham or someplace else. They are being spent. They could be coming here. When that property develops, the city is going to benefit from that. There is such a thing as a time value of money. You can't go to the bank and get a loan without, I mean, they're going to charge you interest. It's just that simple. So the longer you put things off, it costs the city, costs me, costs the tribe, costs everybody. So that's one point. Mr. Young brought up another point that he disagreed with the tribe's analysis of 700,000 square feet of build-out. Well, that's fine. My understanding is I think that was based on a comp plan, but irregardless, the simple solution to that in order to move things forward might be to just put a clause in the contract or in the agreement that states, in the event that the tribe builds out more than 700,000 square feet and that causes a need for more infrastructure, roads, water, utilities, whatever, then the tribe is on the hook 100% for whatever that those costs are. That problem solved, make an agreement, move forward. I listened to the tribe's analysis of their road program. That was not a lightweight thing. They spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of engineering putting that together. I would urge you to give that serious consideration because, as far as I can tell, everybody is in agreement on that design. And apparently they looked at a lot of different designs, and that is the most efficient design that they've been able to come up with. Now, so, you know, I mean, basically the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So that's why that fifth leg is in there. Everybody seems to like it, except so far Ferndale has not bought off on that design. I mean, it is a serious design. Maybe it could be shifted a little bit one way or the other, you know, that type of thing. I don't know. But I would really encourage you not to let emotion dictate that, you know, your decision-making. I mean, NASA didn't build a rocket ship to the moon based on emotion. They did it based on good engineering. And that is good, solid engineering in that design.
Thank you, Mr. Connell. I apologize that can you wrap it up in about 10 seconds here, sir?
Well, I just want to urge you to move forward. It's costing you money, costing me money, costing everybody money. I think there's ways and means to move the thing forward. I'd love to talk to you, anybody who wants to listen. I'd like to encourage you to have a workshop. Listen to these folks, you know, and
thank
ask
you.
All the questions you want to ask. What went into that design? And move forward.
Thank you, Cleo. Anyone else? Mr. Robertson. As if my clock works, it's time for you.
Yeah, it's running before you even start. Mm-hmm. Give me 5 seconds.
I'll give you 5 more seconds.
I'm Papa John, as nobody knows, and I live at Malloy House still, unless they moved it since I left this afternoon. And today, this is going to be Keith's special day today, because I'm going to give him a pundits program just for the Keith Olson No Fun Fund. And you can spell it however you like. But I do want to start off on a serious note. This is a challenge to all of these, kind of a community service. I have talked to several of you individually. I had the honor of seeing the very first opening of God's Not Dead 2, even though I cried bitterly with the $8.35 for a senior at matinee, wondering when a massage was coming and the full banquet after that, as well as the swimming pool and benefits for $8.35. You gotta be kidding me. Anyhow, I would give it a 10. The point is, this is one of those movies, I don't care if you consider yourself an atheist, an agnostic, you're weak in your faith, you're strong in your faith, doesn't matter. It deals with an issue that is at home for me. When I was a teacher in California, and I've been taught in several different places, the very first day of school, I got in trouble. And here's why I got in trouble. What audacity I had to actually want to teach my children, this is California, the reason why the year it was because we had an AD and a BC and they didn't know what it meant. I got in trouble. You're not permitted to do that, I was told. That was 1985. Okay, it's been a while. This movie relates to that, and truth and justice is the themes. But I would challenge all of you, like I say, I don't care where you are faith-wise, doesn't matter. You're going to find something in that movie that relates to where you are, or maybe where you want to be. And then a couple of thoughts to think about. Real contentment hinges on what's inside, not what's outside. And God has a plan for your friendship, and I tell my kids this. One of the three most important decisions of life is who is your friends. Because your friends will either be what you are or what you're going to become. Want to know what you look like to others? Take a look at your friends. That's either who you are or who you're going to become. And then the third thing, and I wrote this as my own comment here. Labels are on products are not without value. When it comes to people, labels are very little matter. It's the content that counts. That took me a long time to learn that very simple thing. Labels, when it comes to people, don't matter much, if at all, really. What does matter is contents. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. It worked this time. There you go. Council, we have the consent agenda, but two items have been... Excuse me, is that all public comment? I didn't mean to cut anybody off. Okay. The consent agenda, we're going to pull the Main Street development. We'll make that C2. And the Ferndale sister city, Menominee Bosa, will be C1. So with those two items removed, do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor of adopting the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We will go on to item C, which is mayoral proclamation, Ferndale Poetry Month. Well, this is exciting. this mayor's first proclamation. If I can get it right, we have Marla here today and husband Steve, so we're going to do the best we can. Thank you for your help on this. Mayoral proclamation for April 2016, Ferndale Poetry Month. And whereas the Academy of American Poets established the month of April as National Poetry Month in 1996, and whereas National Poetry Month seeks to illuminate the historical and contemporary legacy of American poets, to introduce Americans to the extraordinary pleasures of reading, writing, and reciting poetry, to bring poets and the poetry to the public in immediate and innovative modalities, to make poetry a valued and integral part of our children's education. And whereas poetry is recognized as an essential element of the arts and humanities that affects and honors the development of intellectual thought, cultural diversity, individual and community enrichment, dignity, and pride, and whereas poetry has provided us the inspiration for extraordinary American artistic interpretation through the visual and performing arts, now therefore I, John Mutcher, Mayor Ferndale, Washington, do hereby proclaim April 1st to April 30th, 2016 as National Poetry Month. I call upon all public officials, educators, librarians, businesses, and citizens of Ferndale, Washington to honor this month through participation in the celebratory programs, events, and activities offered for such purpose within the community, and to acknowledge poetry as an artistic foundation to build upon in perpetuity and to sustain the greatness of our nation. In witness thereof, I have set my hand to this fourth day of April in the year 2016. And in that spirit, I shall read the first poem that I've read in public since, I'm sure, high school. We'll see if it's the last one I read for some time. In honor of public work, this is called Where the Sidewalk Ends, and it's by Shel Silverstein. It goes like this. There is a place where the sidewalk ends, and before the street begins. And there the grass grows soft and white, and there the sun burns crimson bright. And there the moon bird rests from his flight to cool in the peppermint wind. Let us leave this place where the smoke blows black and the dark street winds and bends. Past the pits where the asphalt flowers grow, we shall walk with a walk that is measured and slow. And watch where the chalk-white arrows go to the place where the sidewalk ends. Yes, we'll walk with a walk that is measured and slow. And we'll go where the chalk-white arrows go. For the children they mark and the children they know the place with the sidewalk ends. And thank you very much. That'd be a good place to clap. It'd make me feel a little bit better. There you go. That was a stretch for me. It really was. So there you go. We're now going on to C1, which is a resolution about our sister city program, and I think Councilmember Olson has some comments about that.
I want to preface it by I'm not against the agreement. It's just some of the things in it I found could probably be worded better. Where did we get this format for this? Did we take it from other cities?
I swiped it from, I want to say, Lakewood. One of the King County cities.
How many did we look at?
To be honest, I looked at one.
Okay. Well, I think it lacks, obviously it lacks
poetry.
That's a good one. It lacks a little bit of research. I don't know if the right thing is just the mayor gets to appoint. I'm not saying anything against you, but it could be handpicked people that have to represent the city, that we should all be able to have a say in if this person is right to represent the city. So that would be one of the issues. The other is this, there would be allowed to travel to, I'm not even going to try, Japan at their own expense. What exactly does that mean? Does each person pay it out of their own pocket? Because it doesn't say that.
That was my intention when I wrote it.
Okay.
So perhaps, I'm going to make a motion to send it back to the committee and have several different styles from several different places to look at and let the committee, and I'll attend it this time, to be there in exchange for looking at the different aspects of them and come up with some sort of procedure where it's just not one person appointing it, since they're representing the city. And perhaps we could wordsmith this a little bit better at their own expense.
Just to make it crystal clear.
What you wanted to say. Yeah. What I'm trying to avoid is having somebody else pay for somebody else and have it not look right.
I'll second, just to continue the conversation.
Okay. And with that, yeah, I'll move to send it back to the committee for those reasons.
And I will second.
So it's been moved and seconded to send this proclamation back to committee. Before we have the vote, we do have a leading citizen here, Marla Merrill, who is really one of the key people who's inspired this 25th anniversary. I'm just going to ask her if she'd like to have any input this evening. You don't have to, but maybe a little background before we send this back to committee.
Yeah, I'm Marla Morrow. My address is 5595 Elder Road, and I'm glad that there's no opposition to this. It makes sense to me that if the wording can be better to be more clear, then I support that. And I've spoken with basically all of you, so you know the history of the sister city relationship. Maybe those present don't know that this year is the 25th year anniversary of that celebration of that friendship. And so I'm very happy that the city council is willing to move forward with this and celebrate that international friendship that is really a step toward creating a mission of world peace step by step. So thank you.
And I'm personally grateful for your passion and commitment. You've managed to inspire me to want to go. I didn't feel that way a couple months ago, so I'm excited about it. So thank you so much.
I have a question for her, Marla.
Yes, yes.
When is their mayor coming over here from Japan?
Mr. Shinichi Hayama, who was former mayor of Minami-Boso and who is now a head executive of the International Sister City Association, is definitely coming in October. And we are currently planning a citywide celebration of the 25th anniversary on October 27th. I think he may come a day or two before that. It's still dubious whether the current mayor of Minami-Boso will be coming or not. He had to meet with city council and find if there were funds available to him and his interpreter to afford his trip here. But it looked promising, so I'm hopeful that he will come.
Okay. Another quick question?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think the Cherry Blossom Festival Committee would be interested in being part of choosing a delegation, kind of a mix of people from the Ferndale area? Is that something you'd be interested in before we... we're probably going to talk about this at committee, or maybe not. I'm just curious. Is that not something you want to take on? You can say no. There's no pressure.
Well, I'm thinking right now. Choosing a delegation is interesting to me. I didn't really think that a delegation would necessarily need to be edited.
I think it's Keith's concern is so who's going to go to represent the city? Would it just be the mayor? Because it says, and you can appoint a delegation, so.
Mm. Well, I know that Bob Storms, who was a member of the original delegation that went to Minami-Boso, actually it was Miyoshi at that point in time, he went with other teachers and they created a middle school relationship with middle schools there at Miyoshi. And so I know that he and others of that original group want to go, and I think that would be wonderful if they were selected to go. And any other city dignitaries, that would be very appropriate, especially from the city council.
I'd have to spend all my... That's a lot of money to go to Japan?
It's very expensive. Yes, indeed.
There's a lot of trips to Disneyland, I'm just saying.
And council, we mentioned this in committee. I think it would be wonderful if council members would come. There's a bit of timeliness here. The Bob Storm is putting together his band to return. He took the well-known area band, the Bathtub Gym Dixieland Band. I think I left out a few adjectives in there. But it's a well-known group. They went 25 years ago, and they're planning to return. They need to buy tickets and things like that. So part of this was to make it, using City Hall language, lean, so we can move forward on this. So that would be helpful to us, so they can know whether they have the approval of council to raise the funds, buy the airline tickets, and represent the city. So if council could do some thinking before once you how you'd like to make that process work, other than just the mayor deciding, that would be helpful. Because, again, buying airline tickets is expensive and difficult, and I know they are ready to move.
When is the trip?
October.
Okay, that's 5 months more or less.
And I'd like to make another comment. I know that Mr. Evan Ritchie, who's now a teacher of Japanese at Windward High School, has gone many years with representatives, students from, I believe, Ferndale, but also Bellingham. And he has an ongoing relationship with Mr. Shinichi Hayama, and he typically stays with him. So he goes not as an official representative from the city, but as a resident of Bellingham and Ferndale. So I don't know. He's never sought official decree from the city to go, but he does go. So.
I'm even inclined, as I'm thinking through not just my needs, but the needs of the other people, if the council would consider, even tonight, because it's been on the agenda, to authorize the mayor to appoint that delegation. I know you want to take a second look at it, but we haven't voted yet, and we can certainly fix this up a little bit, make it clearer, but I know this group would like to start working on airline tickets and stuff like that. So if you think you do have a different direction in how you want to choose this delegation, then you should vote yes and send this back to committee. But if not, I would just politely ask that you let the mayor make that choice so they can move on. It's up to you. It would just make it easier for them. So, Councilmember Olson.
Well, if we're going to keep talking about it, I think it should have something to do with people from the city. We shouldn't get to just appoint willy-nilly whoever we want to appoint. And the whole process of this is to get a process other than just whatever you would like to do. And that's what I'm against.
I understand.
Either I have it or I don't.
I understand. Any more questions? Councilmember Goodrich.
It sounds to me, I'm hearing kind of two different reasons why we're going. One was, from what you were saying, as far as the original group that went with the band and things, they wanted to return because it's the 25th anniversary. And it sounds like we're trying to tack on, we'll throw some city people onto that and make a city delegation to kind of tag on to this. And and to me, if it's the original group going to celebrate their 25 years, I say let the original group go and we not have the actual delegation, type of a thing. To me, it's either a city thing
right.
or it's not a city thing, but we're trying to put two things together. I don't.
Did you see how it's?
I read it through there. I had my original question is when and how many, people were was part of this delegation, and originally it was just the city sending a delegation over there. They were going to send a delegation over here.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to, kind of buy into it, but if we're tagging on to this other group,
I can help with that a little bit, and maybe Marla as well. They would like to return. I do not believe they will return unless they go as delegates of the city. They felt like they represented the city last time. They paid their own way and their expenses. They would like to go as delegates, a delegation from the city. I don't think they would go otherwise. I think that's important to them. And just from my own view, I think anybody who'd like to go that has an interest in Ferndale, if you can raise the funds, come along. I'm not going to limit anybody who would like to go. I think if you'd like to do that and you can pay your way and go over, that's wonderful.
Then I would lean back to what Keith was saying, that we need to go back and rephrase this because if this other group is going to be our delegates, then I think it needs to be stated in there that they are delegates of the city of Ferndale and then anybody else.
What the mayor is asking is if you don't want to do it this way, to have a clear process in mind when you come back in committee in a couple of weeks, what you'd like to do, how you want this to work in an expedient way that would be helpful to people that have to organize the trip. If you have a different method in mind, that's great. But if it's a long process, and I can imagine some processes that could be quite long, you may not have any delegation go at all.
Next committee meeting is Wednesday, though, correct? And so next Wednesday we would talk.
Yes.
Yeah, so we would talk about it a little over a week.
So if you're going to vote for this, I hope you have some ideas on how you want the process to work.
I'll submit some.
May I please add that, yes, I think expediency, with respect to the questions that you're raising, is pretty crucial because of the expense involved in going to Japan. And that it takes time, perhaps, for some people to raise money. But I'd also like to reiterate the mission of the Ferndale Cherry Blossom Festival, which is really the whole reason how this sister city relationship has been resurrected, so to speak. You've heard it before, but I'll say it again. The Ferndale Cherry Blossom Festival is established to nurture the relationship we share with our Japanese sister city, Manami Boso, to collectively learn about, honor, and celebrate Japanese culture, and to beautify Ferndale with iconic Japanese flowering cherry trees that provide organic experiential opportunities, rejoice in the splendor of Sakura. So by saying collectively learn about, honor, and celebrate, I think we want to be cautious in being too strict in who could come and who could not. Or who could go and who could not go, because it involves the whole city. It's a citywide celebration. So due respect to your concerns, I'm done.
You know, I would just relate to you comments from Mr. Storms, who's been a longtime friend of mine. Bob was kind of Mel Hansen's partner at the middle school, band director. They need to purchase tickets for 10 members. I think it's 8 band members. There might be a couple spouses in there. I don't know. For anyone to buy a single ticket to go to Tokyo, you can do that and probably get a decent price. To buy 10 tickets on the same flight at a certain price, it gets very difficult. So I think he would say, he's not here tonight, but he would say that every day that they wait, it's more difficult to accomplish that and gets more expensive. So, again, I'm just asking. I think that the proper role of the mayor is to do this and hope that you'll let him do it. If not, come up with a system pretty quick for them. Any more comments or questions? Ready for the vote? The motion on the table is to send this to committee with no action tonight and for council committee to come up with a process for selecting this delegation. Those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, I believe, 5-2. Does that sound about right? With council members Hansen and Czar voting no. Thank you, council. And thank you, Marla, for coming tonight. The next item is the new development on Main Street, and I believe Councilmember Watson had some questions about HOAs.
I did, actually, and I know we've discussed this before, but I'm concerned about creating another small HOA. Last year we created a 7-member HOA. This one will only have 11 members because of the nature of the development. I'm a member of a 170-unit HOA. We have our own difficulties. There's about 8 of us who do everything. My concern is we're having all this infrastructure in place that somehow this HOA is going to have to maintain over the years. State law requires that you have a reserve study in place, and that reserve study requires you to have however many tens of thousands of dollars it's going to cost to replace your infrastructure. And you have to have that on hand, whether, you know, from the very beginning, pretty much. We've been told we need $100,000 in reserve just to take care of our ponds and our tennis court. So I don't think an 11-member HOA is going to be able to pull that off. So my concern is we can't keep creating these small HOAs. I can't support it. I know it's a preliminary plat, but I don't want to support it. I don't know if the city has any options. Is there some, we've talked about it before, some way to say that the developer's going to put something aside, you know, do a reserve study ahead of time, and the developers put something in escrow so that the homeowners 15 years from now can replace what they need to replace. Or do we do something where the city takes charge of it and charges the people who live near ponds?
Mr. Burnett, this is kind of your...
Well, Yuri Burnett, Community Development Director. I think that Director Renz and I might both be able to speak to this, and we have talked quite a bit about this. You know, we don't have a silver bullet that's going to, I think, put these concerns to rest tonight. It is something that is difficult to project, obviously, and where each bit of infrastructure is probably a little bit different, depending on how it's maintained. The collective will of the homeowners association is also going to vary quite a bit. I think that we do agree that overall, on a macro level, the city does need to look at the responsibilities that it's placing on the HOAs through our development standards and our codes to make sure that we're not asking too much. I don't know that we would think that coming up with solutions to the problem at this point is necessarily appropriate, because there are advantages and drawbacks to all of it. And I think that we've spoken before about if we were going to inherit or acquire all of the responsibility, what it would mean as far as staffing levels and inventory. For this one in particular, the level of infrastructure is not huge, but I guess that depends on your perspective.
Do you know the cost of the concrete vault? This is a slightly different. They don't have the pond. They look like they have that concrete vault, like
yeah,
they do on Malloy.
It has an underground detention. I don't actually have the cost estimate for what the vault would. I know that Ramon is here, so that he could probably comment. You know, $100,000.
So these 11 owners are going to have...
They're 44. Potentially 44 owners. They're going to build this condo. So you potentially are going to have 44 owners. 11 fourplexes with potentially 44 single owners.
But there's also potential of just 11 owners if it became rentals.
Yeah. Yeah.
My concern is they're going to have $100,000 in reserve. They're going to have to open an account and have $100,000 in there as an HOA.
Ramon, would you come up and just for the record, thanks.
Sure. My name is Ramon. I just actually formed an association for 20 lots on Pioneer Terrace, and you have to just pay the insurance, and every year you put some money aside. You don't have to.
That's not true.
I just did it. I just did it like a couple months ago.
So well, we were told by the state, and we were audited by the state. They came in, and we had to pay a guy to audit us. We had to spend thousands of dollars because the state said we had to. And he did up all the plans, told us we needed $100,000+ stuck in an account, and they're checking up on us to make sure that we do it.
I'll make sure they don't call me then.
I understand that what you've done, but I mean, that's not what our HOA has been told to do, and not what other HOAs.
Huh. You know, I think that the city should have come up with a process. If they want to take over ponds, we cannot just single out just one project. There should be a process, because, you know, developer comes in. There's the rules that he has to follow. He follows all the rules, and you cannot just come last minute and say, "Well, by the way, we thought maybe we should do something different because things are not happening the way we like them." So, I agree. Like Bellingham went through the same process. There were associations that were working right, associations that were not working properly. Bellingham has the staff to maintain those ponds. Like a vault, the chance of repairing a vault is almost zero. The chance of having a concrete vault, there's not much that can go wrong with a vault unless it's not built properly. But I think that the city has to decide, are we going to maintain the storm systems for the developers or not, and create a process to do it.
That's the discussion we've been having for more than a year.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Burnett, then Mr.
To council and new council members, I do want to point out that I believe that Council Member Watson and any of you individually have the right to vote against this. It is accurate, though, that this subdivision is vested to our current regulations. So you can certainly vote against this preliminary plat if you chose to signify your unwillingness to move forward with it. It's not necessarily, it would not change what they are vested to. I think that regardless of the vote, staff does understand these concerns, and Kevin and I have talked about it, and we don't intend in any way, shape, or form to try to push through developments that come in. But until we do adopt new development standards or do adopt the code or policy, we are going to continue to have applicants that come in and that do vest themselves. So I just want to make that clear to council that voting no is not going to be able to, on this subdivision, change the responsibilities of the HOA.
Councilmember Goodrich.
I, too, live in a condo association. We had to raise our fees $50 a month because the state came in and said, you don't have enough in reserves, so we had to raise ours $50 a month to make sure that we could build up the reserves that the state said that we had to have for our association there. My question to Mr. Burnett, or one of you fine gentlemen there, is there some way we can find out from the state the clear path to which we as a city can look at this and make it part of our standards, and saying, well, maybe we don't do small developments with HOAs because they can't meet the financial responsibility or what. I mean, from a builder's point, man, you build it, you turn it over to the HOA, and you're gone. They're the ones that have to deal with it. It's the same thing what we had. You know, what we were told when we first did our HOA and what we found out the state wanted were two different animals. And it did, like I said, it ended up costing us additional monies per month. I don't know if that's a way to make that part of a development package, and so we don't have these issues come up in the future, or how we avoid this. You know.
The chair would like to remind Council Plutley that, you know, discussion on HO is important. We need to have it. The staff is working on that, but if we could keep our discussion on this particular development, I think it'd be helpful tonight. Councilmember Olson.
Well, wait a minute. This is an issue with this development, and I just like to find out from staff, is this something that we could look at in the future and things or not? I don't think we're just going to blow this, my question off.
Well, we just acknowledge that, Councilmember Goodrich, that it is something staff is dealing with, and we will be back to the council. Do you want to say something?
I was just going to say that it's certainly something that we have that we can continue to investigate. What we're finding in some cases is that different attorneys give different advice, as I think that we might be hearing now. Believe it or not,
she's sitting right there, you know.
But that we'll talk to Dan, and we'll also look at the state law and to see whether or not there is a clear guidance and whether or not we can differentiate between the larger and the smaller. And I know that this question has come up, and council might be saying, well, gosh, you know, you've known that we're going to ask this question. Why don't you come forward? But we now have the opportunity with the Public Works Director to say, okay, what can we do? And then on the other side of things, what does that mean as far as staffing levels or the ability to maintain?
What are the practical implications of us taking over the maintenance, the ongoing maintenance of that infrastructure? And do we go forward, you know, if we were to go forward with the methodology where the city staff is taking over responsibility for those, are we doing it with new developments going forward? Are we trying to work with older developments and looking at what we would have to have in place for staffing levels in order to make that happen? Because with the staffing that we have right now, I don't think that it's a tenable position to put us in to take that on as a responsibility right now.
And I don't think anyone's talking about doing it without having some way to bring in some sort of fund. Because you'd have to find some way so that people
those of us who have private ponds mm-hmm. at this point would have to find some way to basically pay the city mm-hmm. to do it, but then you would be ensuring that every pond in the city was maintained, as opposed to those with good HOAs versus those whose HOAs have dissolved. And my issue is we're not just creating these ponds just because. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason we want to take care of the stormwater. And as these ponds fail or aren't taken care of, then we have a stormwater issue. And I understand the city doesn't have enough staff, but let's find a way to do it. Either the stormwater ponds are important or they're not.
Councilmember Olson's been waiting.
I'm going to support it because what's been said here is this is the current rules and that he's met them. But I have the same concerns they do. If they fail, how do we, and we have to go in and maintain them, then what, have we got to lean everybody's property equally? Or, you know, it's going to be a longer discussion than what we need right now, but we need to have it as quick as we can.
Any council members? I haven't had a chance to chime in on a question or a comment. Thank you, Ramon.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? So this is actually hasn't been a motion yet, because it was pulled from consent. So we're looking for a motion to approve a preliminary plat, Main Street Village.
Motion to approve the Main Street Village preliminary plat.
So moving seconded to approve the Main Street Village preliminary plat. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Okay. Going on to... Mine says mayor comments. Is executive session on there next?
No. Executive session comes at very, very after you.
Okay. I think with council's permission, we're going to change the order a little bit and discuss a moment about the executive session that had planned for tonight. Staff and mayor believe at this point we may not need executive session with some decisions that we're looking for council to kind of lead us in regarding the development out there at Slater. So with that, I'm going to pass it off to our city administrator and our staff to talk about some kind of a pathway forward for the city, importantly, and also for the development, the Salish Village development.
Yeah,
Mr. Young.
Thank you. Wanted to kind of follow up on our committee meeting of Wednesday and try to figure out how to move this issue forward. I think, as most of you are aware, the issue down at Slater has multiple facets to it. But the one we were dealing with most presently was whether the IJR initiated by the tribe was studying the entire problem, whether we were looking for solutions to the right questions. And there were issues about not only the development activity potentially on the nation's land, but also the development in and around the entire Slater corridor. We've had some conversations today with staff, and I might have Yorian or Kevin provide some comments as well, but what we're thinking might be an appropriate path forward is to actually conduct a Slater corridor study, not unlike the Main Street corridor study we did, where we sat down and said, if we assume every piece of land, this is talking about Main Street, every piece of land on the four corners of the interstate would be fully built out, what would the traffic be like, and what would be the slate of possible traffic improvements? And that's the process we went through. We continued that on and actually did a planned action environmental impact statement, and we're not really talking about that now. But we would like to bring back to the committee meetings next week a little more information about a scope and budget to have staff and possibly some of the other property owners or interested parties work together with Transpo to put together a corridor study. Today we had a conversation with Transpo. Director Burnett and Director Rents were there, and again, we'll be bringing more to you on Wednesday about this, but perhaps they can kind of give a few comments as to conceptually what we're trying to achieve.
Well, I guess...
Yeah, Mr. Burnett?
Okay, then I'll refer to you.
They're here all week.
So what we've seen that's kind of been maybe lacking from this process is that we aren't starting from the ground up, and that there are still some persistent questions where we've really only looked at the southwest quadrant, and there's the northwest quadrant, there's the northeast, there's the southeast, there's Costco. And while the The previous studies have looked at some pipeline development, ones that had already been applied for. They did not look at that full build-out, and we do know that if, through our planned action, if we were just talking about development on the west side compared to just development on the east side of the interchange, it would dramatically change the nature of the projects that are going to come out of it. So what we're thinking is that we can come in with a fairly simple process, with a fairly simple set of inputs, where when we're talking about a countywide market for commercial development or regional development, there are some basic floor area ratios or development that you tend to see. They fall into groups of averages. Maybe they use about 30%, 20 to 30% of the gross overall land. So you start layering in some assumptions that if all four quadrants were to develop to their max extent, because we are needing to look at the lifetime of this project, not just a 5-year, but we're not going to get more money from the state anytime soon, that we can put in some different assumptions, put it into a model, and then see what the model comes out of, where that way the city, and I think that this is important, that the city's not manipulating those answers. We're just putting in some inputs that are objective, that are repeatable, and then we come out and we see what starts to break or what starts to need to be improved. Is it the overpass? Is it the interchange? See that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
I had a quick clarification.
Councilor Watson.
Thank you, sir. We're not talking about the whole EIS process, right? Because that was $250,000.
No.
Okay. No. Something substantially less.
Okay, thank you.
About 10% of that.
Good.
You know, I think not even the you know, initially leading into it, excuse me, coming up with the methods and assumptions that we're going to use to base that analysis on, and making sure that everybody has the ability to look at that, and that it's a clear, transparent open process.
Councilmember Olson.
The part about, is this going to be our study, or is this going to be, you said something about partners with who?
Yeah, I guess I... We'll tag team back and forth. I think the more participants, the more willing participants, the better, only because you need to come up with assumptions. A huge assumption is how many trips are coming from the north, how many trips are coming from the south. It really makes a big difference if you're talking 80-20, 50-50. And I think the better we know what the current landowner's desires are for all four quadrants, we might be able to come up with a better, not only a build-out scenario, but we can ask Transpo, if the traffic's 50-50 north and south, what breaks when? If it's 80-20 or 70-30 from the north and the south, we can start doing some sensitivity, and it's just running the model. It's the model's already built. It's just a question of inputting the data.
If that's what we're looking for is data, because I'm sure Mrs. Young told you this at some point growing up, too many cooks spoil the soup. So are we asking for what their plans are? Because if everybody's going to be with their self-interest, including us. So I just don't want to see...
My intention that this would be a city-led process.
Okay.
That would be transparent and open.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
anyone would be welcome, but it'd be something that the city would initiate and the city would do. It would be something to inform DOT when the time comes for them to design the improvements. So we can say, this is a worst-case scenario or a complete build-out scenario. Anything less than this, we're simply talking time, because if enough time goes by, everything will get built.
All right. That
Councilmember, I'm sorry, Goodrich.
I like this idea. I think the two things that I would plug into it is the scope of the area. I would say from northwest to Labounty. Actually, I noticed on the presentation was Wednesday, they did not include Labounty, and I think that's a critical area, too, because there's going to whether a jail ends up there or not, at least with all the truck traffic and traffic in and out of SSC and RDS and all that stuff there. The other thing is how do you, and this probably goes into the Transpo thing, but deal with the fluctuation in the Canadian dollar. Right now, we're not seeing the Canadians come. So if you look and say, well, how many people are coming from the north into this area, right now, it's dropped down. But the dollar changes, and we can see that influx coming back into the area, then you're going to see the shift. There's going to be more people from the north than from the south. So I don't know how that would play into it.
Yes. Mr. Burnett.
So, yeah, excellent question. With the Canadians, what we're thinking we're going to have the opportunity to do, since it's going to be fairly low cost, is you're going to be able to plug in some basic assumptions on that model where the most of the work has already been done, and then tweak it fairly easily to say, here's the model, let's assume that 70%, that is now 70%, or let's now, instead of looking at the p.m. peak hour for the daytime, say, gosh, you know, most people shop on the weekends. Maybe the peak hour is Sunday afternoon. Those are very quick plug-ins to the existing model. Once you've already coded it, it's fairly easy to do. Two other things that we're wanting to make sure happens is, while this might be city-led, it shouldn't be something where if you rip off the cover and read it, you can tell who wrote it. It should be something where any one of the stakeholders could say, hey, did you write this, or did someone in my office write it? And I don't know if that's what we have yet. And so it should not be a city with our fingerprints all over it. And then the last thing is, another thing we want to do is to say, we now know what breaks at full build-out or what doesn't break, but that it also breaks at 20% build-out. Because that's going to be important, because a good argument to be made is, gosh, you're talking about the Cadillac of development, and there's no way that Whatcom County can sustain X level of growth at all four quadrants. So that we'd be able to truth test it a little bit and say, actually, this project becomes necessary. It starts to break at only 10% build out of the northeast quadrant, let's say, where if we do all of a sudden see that fairly minor development at another quadrant changes the conclusions, then that gives more response to relooking at what those projects are. So we think it can be a strong document.
Sure. Any more questions, Council?
Yeah, so we had a real nice conversation today with Transpo, talking about the exact geographic boundaries we'd be studying, and ironically it was from Grandview to all the way to La Bounty, and then we talk about how far north and how far south. So I think they now understand what we hope to accomplish through this study, that it is something that would inform DOT, it'll inform us. And I think it's without going into it with a predetermined outcome, we're saying, if everything gets built, how bad does it get, how quickly does it get bad, and what projects need to come first, second, third, fourth. I think it'll be very illustrative.
And it would be completed potentially, the study?
Yeah, we're hoping, I don't know, we're hoping maybe 6 months. It really depends on how much staff time, because as you know, we're working on the comprehensive plan. The Public Works is quickly running on their projects for this year. But we're going to put some horsepower behind it and try to get it done as expediently as it can.
And we know the tribe wants to move forward. We want to move forward. Mm-hmm. The first monies from the state for that interchange come in 2019. So there's a little bit of breathing room. This makes a process, a pathway for them and for us that's led by the city as it should be. And it reflects what we've already modeled before at the interchange on Main Street. We have 250 miles of I-5 where Transpo can see what happens at interstates and I-5. And they can measure some of the density there. They can talk to the property owners and come up with some reasonable assumptions. Councilmember Taylor.
Could we also include in that study, the Ferndale City Council in August of 2013 passed a resolution to connect Slater Road to the Guide Meridian, and also they wanted to connect Cope Road to Mitchell Way by the airport. Mm-hmm. That would increase significant amounts of traffic. Could that be included in this study?
Yeah,
I think we should let them know.
Preliminarily, we'll need to talk with them, but that may be, I think, a little bit beyond their scope, because we don't have a model that would show what a connection to the airport or a connection to the Guide Meridian would be. So there's no base level modeling that exists, but it's also a two-edged sword. For example, the road to the airport means that some people will use Slater who today use Bakerview. So it could actually make things worse, but it also might make things different, because you now have a different way to get to the airport as opposed to going through Bakerview. So it really brings in a lot of a lot of variables that at this point, I think what we're trying to figure out is what traffic improvements at the interchange would be necessary, and what might change is the timing of those improvements, if either one of those connections were ready. But I don't think the scope of the improvements, that is, you know, you can only build so many lanes, you know, theoretically.
Councilmember Taylor, I think I picked up where you're going with that. So if Slater is connected,
mm-hmm.
that would have a mitigating impact.
Yep,
on
okay, it would.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that. Thank you.
And the Ferndale City Council passed a resolution in 2013 prioritizing that project.
Yes, they did.
Why they did, I'm not sure, because it's outside of Ferndale.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you why, because I was on council at the time. It was in support of the Port of Bellingham. They were putting together their long-term plan, and they wanted to know if the time came, if they were found the money, and, you know, the universe aligned, that they found a way to put Cope Road through right through the threshold of the airport, that they would like to do it. And all we said is, you know what, if you can find a way to do it, that's wonderful. But it's not like we personally were ever going to pay for it.
It was not driven by the city.
No, it wasn't driven by the city. It was just in support of the Port of Bellingham's long-term plan.
That's my recollection. Yeah. Any other questions from City Council members? So this is just by unanimous consent. This is going to be sent back to committee, and staff will come up with a proposal. City will spend a little bit of money on this study.
But you won't spend money
$25,000
until...
We'll
and we'll have some clear direction as where we need to go. Councilmember Watson?
But you won't spend the money. You're not going to spend any money until the committee gets to...
You'd have to approve.
We just had a conversation today with Trent. Yeah, they're going to put together their scope as they understand it and their budget. And so that is really going to drive exactly what their transpose staff is going to be doing, and therefore the cost, and what we're going to be doing, and therefore the cost. So, yeah, this is a really just a way, I think, to move forward in a positive way to determine, not unlike Main Street, what happens if. It's one of those type of planning.
And I want to emphasize what it is. It's to move forward. It really is to move forward for the city and for anybody who wants to develop out there, and namely Lumination. So I think this is a good, wise decision. Yes.
This,
you want to do that? We could.
Sure.
Just a little time. Go ahead.
This actually brings us a little bit past that point of a planning exercise, which is a good thing, and I'm grateful that you all find that there might be value in that. If and when, or I should say when more than if, when we get to the point of either being able to complete development down there or having the state plan for that development, it's going to be critical that we work closely and cooperatively with the Lummi Nation, as we have in the past. And I think some people have brought that up, and especially in terms of whatever what our relationship is, what the government-to-government relationship is. Back in 2006, when the tribe had bought what it's commonly called the Gateway Center, that's the piece of property that has the smoke shop and the big electronic sign, when that property was in the process of being transferred into tribal trust, Mayor Lancastle and I sat down with representatives from the Lummi Nation, and we hammered out an agreement defining the roles of each government. And that agreement actually came in front of the then City Council, as well as the Lummi Indian Business Council, and was approved. And so that agreement... I was extremely proud of, because it really was, at least in our mind, it was kind of a one of a kind. It was the first time that we were aware that a city and an Indian tribe had sat down and defined how they were going to relate to each other when they occupy the same space. That is, you know, that piece of property was within the city limits. I wanted to pass this out to you because my hope was, and my hope continues to be, that the contents of this agreement would form the background and the basis for us moving forward. And the first part of this talks about there's various recitals as far as the expectations of the parties, the motivations for the parties, the risks and rewards of the parties. And then after that framework is set up, then it actually delves into as far as property tax, sales tax, utilities, police, water, permitting, all the nitty-gritties, if you will. So if anything, I wanted to kind of make sure that you all had this, because even though 2006 seems like yesterday, at least to me, it's a long time ago. And some of you obviously were not on the council, and others just especially in the city, just might not have been paying attention. So, again, if you have questions about this, this is something we can talk about during committee meetings, but I wanted you to have this because this is what we were able to achieve before. And my sincere hope is that we can achieve something very close to this in the future. And so when we start moving down that road and when the time is appropriate, we may need to have an executive session discussion to see what about these agreements or what aspects of these agreements you really like and would like to replicate, what portions you would want to change, and what basis you see the two governments working together. So don't really, you know, I just wanted you to have this.
Mr. Chang, I want to request, if I could, because rather than just wait till committee, what are some of the highlights? And we use the phrase, you kind of make the city whole. When land is put into tribal trust, there are some implications of that possibly. And in what way did this sort of help the city?
You know what? If you remember back in 06, this actually predates me coming to the city. The city received a grant from the EDA. I forget, it doesn't matter what it is. We received a grant to build rural. This is on the south side of Slater. We built rural. We put in the water and sewer lines. We built the storm pond there. It enabled Clio and other development there to occur. Mm-hmm. And so we were on the cusp of just completing those infrastructure improvements. And we had expected, it was one of those build it and hopefully they will come projects where a city invests in infrastructure with the hope that development will follow. And it did. And so in that context, when the Lummi Nation bought that parcel that has the smoke shop and the small tribal retail center, not really even a retail center, it doesn't matter, you know what it is. When that was there, we sat down with them and we said, you know, good for you, but we have expectations. We expected to receive property tax and sales tax, and we thought we'd be growing the city down there. And I think that underlies the entire agreement, because when you go through it, at that point, the nation agreed to pretty much keep us whole. But we also acknowledge that they are not your ordinary, everyday developers. They took for maybe not the greatest developer plus insofar as they are a sovereign nation, and so that changes the relationship somewhat. So in here you'll see acknowledgments on both sides of that equation. It talks in here how they have and they still do pay the equivalency of property tax and sales tax on selected items, and they pay traffic impact fees and they water sewer connection fees. But what they didn't do, which was acknowledgement to their status, was they didn't have to give us their permits. They didn't get permits from the city. They didn't give us building plans that we reviewed. We went out and inspected the connections of their infrastructure to our infrastructure, and they agreed to build it to city standards. But there was no obligation on our part to say, we're going to review your civil plans for water sewer. We're going to review your building plans. Those were things that were completely within their area. We also said that the zoning does not apply. We had that property zoned, but what they are not bound by that zoning. So there was, I think, a fairly good give and take and acknowledgement that there were expectations that the city had and continues to have, and there are realities of having the tribe purchase land within the city limits for the purpose of economic development. We can both occupy the same space. The relationship needs to be slightly different, but it still needs to be a healthy relationship. And again, at the time, I pored over this, trying to really put my mind behind it, and hopefully you can read that when it talks about the motivations and the expectations and what we're giving up and what they're giving up and what we hope to achieve as a result. And at the time, it wasn't easy. We didn't, you know, agree in 5 minutes. There was a give and take. There was a process of negotiation. But at the end of the day, I and the mayor at the time was able to come to the city council and say, this keeps the city whole, and recognizes and honors that relationship. And I would like to think that the Lummi Indian Business Council felt similarly, because it was indeed passed by them unanimously as well as by us. So anyway, just for historical perspective, and I know 2006 is not really historical by some people's minds, but for the city and for our relationship with the Lummi Nation, it is certainly recent history.
And our city attorney is here, and I'm just going to make a comment. I want her to slap me up on law. But once you start using the word negotiate and negotiate the details, that's when it's proper and right for us to go into executive session. We're not doing that tonight. That's why we're not entering into that executive session tonight. But there will come a point of time in probably a few weeks, few months, where we'll need to start looking at those types of issues. And I think she said that's proper for that. Councilmember Watson.
I'm just trying to understand. We're not mixing the IJR with anything negotiation-wise with the development, correct?
No, in fact, when we were talking about and conceptualizing the Slater Road interchange corridor study or whatever we want to term it, it became very clear that was a kind of data-driven, fact-based transportation model centric way to plan for the future regardless of who builds what where. So yes, that is a separate issue. We need to be sure that we get the improvements at Slater right, because as Yori mentioned, we're not going to get another $21 million from the state legislature in probably the next decade or so. And so we need to be darn sure that we're spending the state's money in the best way possible that carries with it the most benefit for the most people for the longest period of time. So that is a pure planning exercise. Now, at the end of that planning, or at a certain point in that planning process, the nation is going to need to discuss certain issues with us, utilities, use of right-of-way. That's a little bit of a separate discussion. So in my mind, the corridor study is an adjunct or might even be informative to the IJR, but it is conceivable that come 2019, the Department of Transportation may not begin either start up the IJR or initiate a new IJR. They may decide that they are really not interested in any improvements to the freeway that would necessitate a break in access and need an IJR. Whichever way it goes, I want the corridor study to help inform you and help inform the state and help inform the public that these are the numbers. This is the build-out. This is what we think is the clearest crystal ball we can have, and the results will speak for themselves. The results will fall in line.
Any other questions from council? No action tonight, so Mr. Callum, we welcome you to come forward. Go ahead.
Just a quick note, my understanding with my conversation with WSDOT is that they will not begin their planning process until the IJR is complete.
Thank you.
Conversations with DOT is that they will start planning when the first monies arrive. And at that point, a decision will be made if an IJR is needed. Mm-hmm. Of the seven alternatives that were brainstormed through the IJR, only one needed an IJR. So it's conceivable that DOT may decide that, yes, we need one, or it's conceivable that they could decide that they don't need one. They can certainly plan for and do the improvements. They have that capability. They do it statewide.
And I know that all of council was at that committee meeting last week. I think everybody was there, but just for the public, the IJR, the Interstate Justification Review, is needed if access is broken in those interchanges. A fifth leg. If that's not required, then it doesn't need to go through that process. So that's a choice that's been made. Any more questions? We shall move on to mayor's comment. You already got a poem. That's all you get from the mayor tonight. Any council member reports this evening? Council member Goodrich.
I may not be at the committee meetings next week. I got a text earlier today from my brother that my one and only uncle passed away today unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. They are talking about possibly the funeral on Thursday, the 14th, which means we would have to fly down Wednesday. So depending on if that's for sure or if I get a later flight,
stuff. I'm not sure how that'll work, but I may or may not be here. At this point in time, it's kind of a 50-50 shot that I'd be here next week.
We're sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
Councilmember Taylor.
I'll also be out of town next week, and I've asked Carol to step in my spot for committee meetings.
Okay.
And then also next Monday, the 18th, the council meeting of the 18th, Ferndale Community Resource Center is having an open house between 4 to 6.
Good deal. Right next door here. Any other council members? Let's go on to staff. Let's start with Community Development Director.
So we do have an opening on our Planning Commission, and I believe the notices have gone out advertising for that position. Fred Kennedy is no longer going to be serving, and so we thank him for that service.
And this is a short term. It's only a few months, rest of this year.
Thank you. Then also just a follow-up from last time that we met, tomorrow at 3:30, the Whatcom County Council is going to be holding a work session to look at Chapter 2 of their comprehensive plan, which is the land use element. We're not sure exactly how it's going to be formatted or whether or not people are going to be able to comment, but what they're proposing in their revised policy 2A-14, which refers to transfer of development rights, is to strive to establish by the end of 2017 a clear, predictable, and fair process for allowing expansion of urban growth areas that considers reasonable measures to mitigate the impacts of growth. And then they say this process should include, and they discuss transfer of development rights. I think that that staffs from the various cities agree that this is an improvement over what was there before, and that it doesn't identify TDRs as the only solution. It might be too much to ask certain council members at Whatcom County to not mention TDRs because they really do feel strongly about them. So, as written, this might be a reasonable compromise. We'll see. They have not, to the best of my knowledge, addressed densities. They may or may not tomorrow, and I expect to attend tomorrow to see what they do. And I'm not sure whether or not our attorney, who has attended every meeting, can. She'll be there too.
Very good.
In committee or full session? I'm sorry, sir. In committee or full session? Apologize for not raising my hand.
Public Works Director Rents.
Not too much of an update. We had a meeting with the Central City Water Association. That project's going to be going forward. Should be getting bid documents together for that. So we're going to be starting work up there. It'd be good to get that system switched over to city standard, and then we'll take ownership over there. And then also working on plans and specifications for the Washington Street project. So should be coming for another.
Thank you, sir. Finance Director Peterson.
Yep.
Chief Knapp in the back. Thank you, sir. Mr. Young?
For those who are into the transportation planning, this is going to be a banner meeting for you. I wanted to kind of alert you. You can set your tickler files for this. A while back, a few years ago, we went through a rather elaborate process with Transpo to come up not only with our traffic model, but we talked about, and we actually have a very exhaustive list of future transportation projects all over the city. The end result of that whole planning process was the determination of our impact fees. And if you remember, we have one impact fee for the Main Street, another one. So it's just not one fee everywhere because the projects are different. Well, it's time to check back in on that. And so instead of just saying, are you good, let's keep going, our feelings are is that the citizens really do deserve, and I'm hopeful that you will enjoy the idea, or at least not by looking at your
it was so much
books,
fun last
maybe time. Enjoyment would be an overstatement. But I hope you can deal with and work your way through at least a review of all of our projects throughout the city, with the end point being certain things have been built, we've done some things, development has occurred, how are we doing? It's one of those too hot, too cold, or just right. So here in a few months, we're probably going to be circling back around, so you will have, at least my hope is that you will have a comfort level by saying our impact fees in this part of the city is this amount, it's this amount and that because of all of these projects, because we're planning for growth, because we've set our level of services. So even though tonight we spent a little bit of time talking about Slater, do not fear, the rest of the city is not going to be left out of the discussions over the next few months. We had hoped to, and it would be great if we could actually complete this prior to June, July, when we adopt our comprehensive plan, especially the transportation element. We're going to try to squeeze that in, but we might need to circle back around at some point in the future to finish that discussion, and then next year, what have you, perhaps consider other revisions. But more than anything else, this is going to be, I think, an exciting year for transportation planning for those that are excited by such things.
And our communications officer and Councilmember Goodrich.
In that, I don't remember, some of the council members, Thornton, how that played into it. Was it just design monies we put toward it, or what, or how this money that we're now going to be getting from the state
right.
play into that?
That's a great example. When Transmo did their original work, they came to us with a decision point. Do you want Thornton to go all the way across the interstate and land over on Portal, or do you just want to have Thornton go over the railroad tracks and then bend down and meet up with the roundabout? Because the costs were significantly different. And the council at that time decided that the impact fee determinations would be based not on the complete freeway overcrossing, but rather just the railroad track down to Portal. What that really brings up is a great example of where time has now brought some clarity. We now know that we have $19 million coming from the state. When we planned for this before, we didn't have $19 million penciled in under the revenue side. We also, due to political reasons and I think a lot of good planning reasons, dialed back our impact fees to what Transpo, and this goes back to what Councilmember Olson is fond of saying at times, we didn't listen to our experts. And which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's an approach that everyone follows. So that's a good example of revenues that we now believe we're going to get that was not part of the math that we used back then. On the other side, both Kevin and Yori have had the distinct opportunity and enjoyment of sitting down for 2 days with Transmo going through all of our projects. And what they found is that for some of the projects, the cost estimates were really not realistic. The costs are much greater. So what we're going to see as we do this refresh, so to speak, we're going to see some revenues, be it $21 million at Slater and $19 million at Thornton, that we didn't anticipate. Increased costs that we didn't anticipate, and maybe a change in some of the projects. We'll do this instead of that. This will be a little bit bigger. This will be a little bit smaller than what we had initially envisioned. So at the end of the day, how those pluses and minuses and your feelings about what impact fees and what our rate of growth and our appetite for capital improvements should be, that's all going to play into a unique set of circumstances that you'll be able to opine on and decide what do you want to be when you grow up and how much do you want to charge people and what's the plan. I'm big on plans. They rarely play out exactly as you hope. But if you don't plan, then you're, I think, in more trouble than if you try to do the best you can.
Thank you. Councilmember Taylor.
So at our last council meeting, I suggested that we have a special meeting just on the transportation projects because I agree that we're probably over our head mm-hmm. on a lot of these transportation projects. Was that ever discussed further about having a meeting?
It'll probably be meetings. We'll probably, now whether we can fold this into our regular council meetings or whether we want to carve out one or more study sessions or the pace, I think, is really going to be determined by your appetite for how much detail you want to go into, how much you want to consider alternatives we never considered before, or for that matter, just confirm that we got it roughly right before, and you're comfortable. So the pace by which this plays out is I think yet to be determined, and the biggest influence on that is going to be all of your desires and needs and wants when it comes to having what I want it to be full discussion. I want it to be, you know, clear. I want you to feel comfortable with your decisions. Some of you will get there quicker than others, but as a body, you need to come together collectively and say, this is our best 2016 guess for what we want our city to be in the next 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. So, yeah, anything like this, anything worthwhile is going to take a little bit of time. So it's going to be probably meetings rather than a meeting.
Here we go. Now our communications officer and April Fool jokester, Roddy Sweeney.
I was really sad about the gondolas, especially in the summer.
I know. We had a surprising amount of support for the gondolas. I want to thank the council for their indulgence for our April Fool's Day gag. And I wanted to mention, as Marla alluded to earlier, we have the Cherry Blossom Festival coming up not this Saturday, but next Saturday, April 16th, at the Pioneer Pavilion. The kickoff is on the
Hanadori Trail.
Thank you. And the Star Park continues to just chortle along. The little media burst about the Metallica logo netted us 125 shifts filled, which I was really happy about. So thank you.
City Clerk Duncan.
Yes, I do have something I'm really happy to announce, that finally we received firm confirmation from AWC that we did indeed earn our Well City designation for the third year in a row, which is pretty significant because it's quite a process to do that, and it saves 2% in our insurance premiums for the city. So,
very good.
One last personnel thing on plus and minuses. We received today formal notification that Shirley Zimmerman, our court clerk, is going to be retiring at the end of April. And so we're currently advertising for, actually Faith, who's the assistant, has expressed some interest in assuming those duties. So we'll be replacing Faith's position as the assistant, so to speak. And then also today, I believe, was the first day for both our new infrastructure inspector and our new code enforcement officer. So today we learn we're going to be losing one temporarily, but we also gain two, hopefully permanently today.
Councilmember Watson.
Can you have them come visit? I mean, it's nice to not all of us go to City Hall all the time. It'd be nice to have new employees come and introduce themselves just so we can put a face with a name.
Sure.
Yeah, committee meetings even. That'd be easy.
That'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Council, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.